Week 31, The Joy of Contentment, Part 2.
So today we are looking at contentment again. I know we looked at it last week in terms of stuff and money and things. And this week I want to look at it in terms of the ambitions we have in our life. We work, we go to school, we have relationships, because we all have this ambition for what it's supposed to look like. And when our ambition is not met, we tend to feel discontented. And part of what I want to do in this is talk about how ambition is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But our ambitions need to be tempered in what it really means to serve and follow Christ. And so what we want to do is look at ambition properly, knowing what it is supposed to look like and the direction that we're supposed to go with it in our lives, and then understanding that, again, in light of who Jesus is. And so there's, I think, a sign of spiritual maturity in this, and that is how we respond when our ambitions personally are not met. You know, does it destroy us, or do we look at, is this going to have the kingdom of God continue to move forward or not? And so what I want to do in this message is we're going to talk about our jobs and those type of ambitions and stuff like that, but bring it back to the deeper thing of what Paul means when he talks about being in Christ. You know, what does being in Christ mean? And so I have four things. First off, the first thing is that Paul found his approval in Christ, and that is ultimately where we need to find our approval, whether we are working hard for him in home, ministry, job, wherever that is. Our approval is found in Christ and him alone first. One person says we can be hungry for more and yet satisfied with less. And so it's not bad to have ambitions. Is that ambition taking over how we get our identity? Or is our identity found in Christ? And then secondly, in this, you see in Christ, Paul also knew what he ultimately deserved, because we don't deserve God's grace. You know, we deserve the exact opposite of it, and yet we get grace. And so when we don't get, quote unquote, what we want, do we take a step back and say, you know what, I really deserve less than God has given me? And he's given me so much. And that can help us to have that proper perspective when we walk into places where either people disappoint us, or we've disappointed ourselves, or we don't reach our ultimate, quote unquote, ambition. Third thing is, in Christ, Paul trusted God's control over all things. Like, Paul was in jail. I'm sure he wanted to get out of jail. He thought, man, if I can get out of jail, I could do so much more spreading the gospel. But he was stuck in jail for all of this time. And so even in jail, he prays ambitiously and he hopes ambitiously, but he trusts in God's sovereignty over all of it. Dave Harvey once wrote this. He said, there is no peace in life until we're convinced that our place is his choice. Where we are ultimately is where God has us. And the fourth thing is in Christ, Paul knew that God sometimes allows our sufferings so that we can know him more, or other people can know him more. Like, there are places, I think, where God allows our personal failure in something that we wanted, because his kingdom will expand further and faster or deeper than it would have been if we succeeded in a given thing. And so I think one of our questions is, are we okay to fail in something if it means that God's glory shines more? I think a lot of people say, no, that's when I'm discontent because my thing failed. We must be okay when something doesn't work out the way that we want, if God's kingdom continues to go forward. And that's, I think, really the ultimate thing, where it's like John the Baptist, right? I must decrease, he must increase. That's what we want for our lives. And I think ultimately that's where we want to land, is this idea that we want to see Christ lifted up even if our own personal ambitions don't get met. Our significance and our fulfillment should come from a place of our contentment in him first. And then everything else will come out of that. But it is nice when things succeed.
I mean, I sleep better.
We love success.
But what happens when all the things that we put our effort and energy towards ultimately fail?
Yeah, I think you have to honestly wrestle with that question if you're going to take any risks and step out where you feel like God's leading. But yeah, it can be scary.
And maybe that's why sometimes people don't take risks at all.
Totally.
Because, well, what if it fails, or what if I don't make it?
So where are you hoping groups will take this week?
I don't know. Maybe really looking at what our life's goals are. Like, if we had to define a life goal, what would it be? Honestly doing it, not saying, yeah, I want Jesus to be glorified. Is that really the goal? Or is my goal, I live in California, to find a way at some point to either retire or live in a way that I can eat? Where's my safety? And that goes to the message from last week of, you know, is my contentedness in my stuff or my things, or is it in Christ?
I mean, this is really kind of bringing it home, like, to Element. I've talked with you guys a little bit about this, but that was kind of the thing I was wrestling with leading up to launching the counseling center here. Like, for years, for the longest time, John and I had talked about being in private practice together, and that's still like a very valid choice. There's nothing wrong with that. I know plenty of people that go into it and they do amazing work, and they, you know, they bring their heart and best intentions into it. But when I, as it was kind of nearing the point where I kind of had to make a decision about, okay, what am I going to do? It became clear really the only differentiating factors for that vocational path were like flexibility and money. And it's okay for people to factor that into job decisions, but it really kind of exposed, like, okay, when I think about where my heart is in this work, it is wanting to make an impact, like, for the kingdom, and it's in wanting to do something that's more accessible for people that need it. But it was hard because I had to really come face to face, and John too, like, in us wrestling with this together, like, okay, this is going to change kind of what we anticipated about our lifestyle or our security, retirement, paying, you know, for the kids' college, things like that. And so at the end of the day, I think it was a point where I got to surrender that. And there's still some fears there. There's a lot of excitement too. But I think the goal is wanting to make an impact for the kingdom. And I'm not saying you have to choose vocational ministry to do that. I think you can do that in infinite number of ways. But I think for me, the Holy Spirit was bringing a lot of conviction in that area.
Yeah, ambition can look so much differently in my life now. I mean, I care so much about people being connected here, about not walking out and feeling like they haven't made any friends or things like that. And so I'm still trying to, like, reframe in my mind what that ambition looks like for me and my position here. But yeah, also for my kids, like, yes, I want them to be independent and successful in whichever ways I think it will look. Two completely different forms between Isaac and Evelyn, but trying to, one, figure out honestly where my ambition lies, because I do also earnestly want my kids to know and love Jesus and to follow him and to lead others to him. And
so, to go on a different route, I would say probably an ambition for me is comfort. So the easiest path in whatever situation or in life. And so there's an ambition in me of, like, yeah, I want to leave a legacy. I want to walk out of here one day and had made a mark on a church or a preschool or whatever. But in my personal life, it's like, yeah, you know, I think comfort's probably the ambition where I'll lean towards instead of, you know, parenting, right? It's hard to discipline kids properly, consistently, right?
Yep.
It's exhausting to kind of be always reframing, resetting, having the deep, you know, repairing and loving through it and all that kind of stuff.
I will notice when I'm going towards my own ambitions is I get frustrated or irritated with people when they're not working on my timetable. When I want something to get done when it's supposed to be done. And then I think, wait a minute, this is about me. If the kingdom of God is central to my life, then I would look at it like this, and it gives me more grace for people. Do you think it'd then be a good idea for GC leaders who listen to this to maybe send out a text or an email beforehand and say, hey, be thinking about this question so we can talk about it?
Yeah, I think that's a really great idea.
I was thinking about this. I feel like if we're talking about ambition, we need to talk about failure, which is the other side of the coin. And so with you guys all being in GCs as leaders or having leadership experience, how would you say your journey has been in trying to be vulnerable about failures because of what the gospel says about us?
It's easy to find some identity in who does or doesn't show up and who does and doesn't respond. And if somebody's life is changing or not, or if someone's not being honest and you know they're not being honest, it's hard not to take that personally. Like, if I was a better leader, if they have this ambition of being a good GC leader, things would progress differently. Mm. But I also find myself in this guy's shoes. pointed at Michael Reed, where it's like, I'd rather be comfortable and have it just be easy and not step into some of those things because I don't want to deal with it. And so there just becomes that balance, right? You don't always want to be stepping into people's business all the time where they're like, hey, come on, give me a break.
Yeah, but back also, off a bit.
Yeah, but also you do need to do that in certain places and times.
Yeah, I often feel regret things I didn't say in a moment or wish I'd said better or...
I regret things I say.
I regret things you say too. When I think it's my doing... I'm the one who's going to bring change. I'm going to be the one who has to be smart, whatever that means. Like, and then there's this aspect of I'm not letting God do his work. I'm not trusting his goodness and using a dummy like me in the first place, right? There's a constant resetting of like, yep, yeah, it's not me who's going to do anything. So, and it's actually freeing when I get to that point.
Do your GCs know that you have that?
Well, that's what I was getting at. I meant more, yeah, we all have fears of failures or concerns for our groups, but I'm talking about like the vulnerability and sharing that with the group itself.
Not so much saying about your failures in a way so that you can be puffed up, right, but in a way that then your GC can speak life into it.
I don't think I've really shared when I feel those things about leading a GC, but recently I've shared about situation in our home and feeling like failure and a commitment that we made. And, you know, and it's hard because you make a decision to undo something you've committed to. And is it the easy way out? Is it the right thing for everybody involved? Is it, you know, it's this really difficult decision. And so I talked about that. We talked about the guys, you know, and sometimes it's like, well, you should answer that. You should respond to me better than that. But, you know, there's some correcting that could always happen. TBPH. Well, because you know, we're all growing gospel fluency and there's this like, yeah, I want you to feel better, not gospeling. And sometimes there's that.
It's hard. I mean, I bring this up because it's an ongoing struggle, I know, for John and myself too, because it's like on the one hand, we both have been on this, you know, lifelong journey, I think, to be more increasingly honest about failures and vulnerable because we have the grace of Jesus. But it's hard, I think, when you come in as a GC leader, especially when there are new people coming into the group that don't quite maybe understand like the culture of the GC yet, because a lot of people have these paradigms about like what small group leaders should be. And like, what do you mean you failed? Like, what do you mean you sinned? What do you mean you have doubts or struggle with this? And so again, I think like having to hold fast to like, no, here's my identity in Christ. Like, because of Jesus, I actually don't have to be afraid of the failures themselves, let alone other people knowing this. But that's what I was curious about, how that's been for you guys too.
I like that our group has come to the place where I can just be part of the group, which always is a little awkward when a new person starts coming.
Yeah.
And it becomes selfish a little bit. Like, how's this going to change for me? Because I want to be me. And then sometimes I feel like I can't be. And I think it...
But that's part for the people in your group, their own discipleship too, is maybe to even have to grieve like this idealized image of you and realize like, oh yes, my pastor is also a sinner in need of grace. And that is a beautiful thing.
And more grace than me. So this week, let's maybe come to the place where we spend some time figuring out what we think our core life's ambition is and then redefine that in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we will see you next week.
Week 31, the joy of I did it again.
The joy of commitment.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.